This is the July 17th meeting of the Pacifica National Board Governance Committee. I'm George Ryder, the chair. I'm going to call the roll. Shara Magomir. Lydia Brazan.
Here.
Mal Bernstein. Vanessa Dixon-Briggs.
Here.
Nancy Henschel.
Sorry, I'm here.
Bob Lederer.
Here.
Pat Logan.
Here.
Tony Norman.
Present.
George Ryder, I'm here. Lawrence Reyes.
Here.
Manihas, Tracy Rosenberg is not going to be here. Manihas Saba is not going to be here. Tina Pollard-Sachs. John Wenger.
Right here.
Jane Zara. Okay, we have nine people. It's a quorum. The agenda was posted. It's open, of course, for additions and changes of order and things like that.
George, where was it posted? I'm so sorry. I wasn't aware of that.
It's posted on KPFTX under the meeting notice. But I'll tell you what's on it.
Okay, thank you.
There's... We were supposed to have an election for chair and secretary. I want to report back on what happened with that. I'd like to have a report back by the PMB members who are on the committee of what action was taken on having elections in the network by the PMB. That's an item I put on. Timeline for bylaws. This is, Lydia put this on last time. And establishing procedures for election of offices of committees. That was also put on by Lydia last time. So the agenda is open for amendment. Any other suggestions? Okay, well, good. Hearing none then. I got I'll do the report for the what happened with the election. I was supposed to get nominations by July 4th. I got one from Mal Bernstein for Lydia for chair and Bob for secretary. I contacted them both by email, and neither one of them wanted to do it, and so there were no other nominations, and so I was the only nominee for the chair, and so I am the chair. It would be delightful if someone would be willing to volunteer to be secretary. All that's required is to put down who was there, and what motions were passed. You don't have to have commentary or anything else. That's all that's required. I think also probably the time we started and the time we finished. Anybody willing to volunteer? Okay. The next item was I wanted to find out what had happened, both the election committee and the governance committee.
George, I'm sorry. This is Vanessa. Could you just 1 second? And I'm not objecting to congratulations on being chief, but as part of that whole process, I had sent an email back asking for the names of the people in the committee because I only know pretty much you and the two other people from PFW.
Yes.
But I never got a response. So.
Well, I sent the names of everybody on the committee to the gov list.
Okay.
You should be on it. I mean, it shows you was on it.
George, this is John in KPFK. I didn't get that. I should be a member of both lists, the Yahoo list and the...
I just did it again. I did it about 10 minutes ago.
This is Lawrence. I got that list. I got that email.
The first one I just...
With the list of the members?
Yeah.
I got that.
I'll check again.
Anybody else not get it? Either 10 minutes ago or 3 weeks ago?
Well, I know I didn't get it 3 weeks ago.
Could you do a search on GovList and see what comes up?
Oh, this is G. Ryder. Is that the one? GovList.
Yes.
Yeah. I see. Maybe I didn't recognize
it. It's called Members Contacts. Yeah.
Yes.
Chair?
Yes.
I have to leave now. I'm sorry to everybody, but this meeting was scheduled during the time that I I'm right in the middle of bargaining for a new contract, so I have to go.
We understand, Lawrence. We appreciate you helping make quorum.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Yeah, so, John, did you discover the list?
I just now going to start looking for it. But I can live without it anyhow. I just want to just make that.
Yeah, I mean,
John, I'll forward it to you, John.
If you don't get it through GovList, then there's something amiss. Send Otis McClay an email and telling, because you show us being on the list. So there's something at his end then that isn't quite connected. And so send him a message if you're not getting the GovList communications.
Mm-hmm. I'll copy Otis on my forward.
Good.
I see it.
Okay.
Okay. I'm sorry. I got it.
Okay. Anything else, Vanessa?
No, that's it. That was it.
Sure. So let's move on then to if PMB members would be willing, I would love to hear what's happening on the PMB with regard to the elections, which seem to have become an issue as to whether or not they're actually going to happen.
This is Lydia.
Yeah, go ahead, Lydia.
Yeah, so we passed a motion last Thursday for the IED to to advertise for the national election supervisor. So that's always the first step.
Okay.
But beyond that, there was no timetable yet or anything. But
George, the second
step—that's what was said.
I'm sorry. Was that Nancy?
Sorry. Yeah, George, it's Nancy.
Go ahead.
Second step is we are critically short of resources, and the cost of the election is estimated between $200,000 and $300,000, and we're just putting it off with help.
Anybody else from the PMB want to speak to this? Is there anybody else on the PMB who's here now? I guess. Yeah, Tony.
I'm here. This is Tony, and I just want to underline the same things that Lydia and Nancy just said. I don't have anything to add to it.
Okay.
This is Lydia.
Yeah, go ahead, Lydia.
Yeah, and I think that what I said at the last meeting, and perhaps everyone wasn't here, is that there is a motion, a policy on the PMB that if we do not have the resources, which we've known for 2 years, because at least we know that we've been very cash-strapped since we received a going concern for 2 years in a row, and may not this year, actually. But anyway, is that there is a motion that was passed by the PMB in the past that when we know this, which we definitely knew that we would be cash-strapped last November, is that that's when you notify the membership. And so the issue is not just the bylaws, it is California Corporations Code. There are things that we can and cannot do because we are holding elections, and so we must have the elections. And I guess the definition of going concern is whether or not you can support your own structure. And I don't believe that those are the figures, but we haven't had any figures for months, so we don't know what the real figure. I still don't know what the election actually costs. The last one, we are looking at e-voting. We're looking, and one of the things I'll get into with the bylaws amendment may be cost saving as well, which is to get rid of or to reduce the quorum for elections, which the abstention has cost us money.
Yeah, so, Nancy, the figure of 200,000 to 300,000, where does that come from?
You know, I've heard figures from 200,000 to 400,000. I've certain emails been floating around, but I just took the high end off because I just did. Mm. But, yeah, I would imagine 200,000 to 300,000 be conservative. It may be more, and we've not been able to make payroll in some stations. So we're really at a critical period.
John, into the queue.
John, go ahead.
Yeah, I you know, last time I asked for the figures for the election, and these numbers of 200,000 to 300,000 just sound unbelievably high to me. I just don't believe it, and I believe, and I know people with the internet voting, which I have a strong distrust of, because one of my specialties is computer security, and you know, I'm not a member of Anonymous, but these sorts of things are just not secure. Hand-counted paper ballots are secure and would cost zero. And so I'd really like to see some numbers before we accept the claim that it's hundreds of thousands of dollars that we don't have. I believe these elections could be done for tens of thousands of dollars. I think KPFK, I mean, I just want to see the numbers, because I just don't believe them. And I challenge them, and I don't think we should make decisions until somebody shows us some authoritative numbers. What did they cost last year? Who has the paperwork? Somebody has that. Let's force them to give it to us.
Well, we haven't even finished paying for the last election, so that's the reality, too.
Let's have a stack here, please. Mm-hmm. So if you want to be recognized, just say a stack or name your name or something.
Okay, I'm done.
Okay, so that was Nancy, I think. Go ahead.
I'm done.
Okay, so do we want to do anything else with regard to that issue here tonight on this committee?
Well, I think yes. I think we need to get the PNB to find out who's got the numbers, all the numbers paid so far, and put them into electronic form and send them to at least this committee so we can look at them, so we can investigate the truth or falsity of the statement, and it's going to cost $200,000 to $300,000, and then we can start looking at ways to cut costs. I can help with this.
So are you making a motion to...
I'll make that into a motion. I move that the PNB get us the numbers to governance so we can evaluate, so we can see what the truth is.
So the motion is for the governance committee to request the numbers for the last election, what it actually cost. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think additionally, it should be sent to all the LSBs so that everybody is in the know and nobody is in the dark. We run this network as a CIA closed project. Everything is closed access, limited access. You have to belong to a committee to get the numbers. Look, let's just give the numbers to everybody, the cost of the elections.
I'll second that, Nancy.
So, well, thank you, Nancy.
It doesn't really need a second in committee, but...
Oh, okay.
Is there any objection to that?
This is Bob.
Bob, good.
No, I don't object. It's just an FYI that the election committee is pursuing the same effort to get the figures. So... I see no harm in having two different committees try to get them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, by the way, we're also pursuing cost-cutting measures, so that's really an important part of our mission as a committee.
Okay.
This is Vanessa. I just have a question. I completely support the idea. I just wanted to get a little bit of clarification. The person is making a motion to have the cost of the last election sent to us, so we
yes.
can verify the accuracy,
yeah.
this hundreds of thousands of dollars cost. And
yeah.
so...
Detailed bill.
I'm sorry, please. Just let Vanessa finish and don't respond.
Yeah.
To, she is.
And,
good, Vanessa.
And we would use that as a basis for determining whether this year's election can take place. I mean, we would use the information, one, just to know, so we can verify. Two, but to maybe come up with some alternatives. Based on, however, presumably, the information would be itemized, and we would see not just one figure, but what it cost in
yes.
terms of how it was spent, how the money was spent, and then maybe be able to improve upon that or make suggestions or something so that we can get the election done. And then I'm just trying to figure out our role, like how the information would come to us and then what we would do with it. I guess we have to get it first, but, I mean, I completely support the idea.
Well, it's pretty much what you said. Now, the Elections Committee is really formally charged with doing things like changing the way we do elections, figuring out some way to make it less expensive, would certainly be one of the things they'd be involved with. As the Governance Committee, it seems to me we're really more involved with the political issue of and the governance issue of, are we really in such an emergency that we have to violate our own bylaws? And it, you know, if the cost is so there's two pieces to that. One is, what is the actual cost? The other is what Lydia mentioned, is it would be nice to be able to see, which I don't think the PNB has seen in I don't know how long, projected revenues and projected costs for the next 6 months or year. That then you'd be able to sort of look and say, well, actually, we really will go bankrupt if we have these elections, if they cost this much. So it seems to me that that's where we sort of have a role in this. The governance committee has a role in this, is to be part of that discussion.
Is Nancy? I'm going to ask one more question. Well, after the next person, I'd like to ask one more question.
Okay, Nancy, go ahead.
George, it's when an organization can't make payroll, that's as critical a stage as you can be at. And, until we're able to really pay off some of these things, like, for instance, the bills from the last election, and payroll. I'd love for somebody to please, win my place and let me go on. But we're just at the most critical stage that I've ever seen an organization at.
Well, Vanessa.
And this is Lydia to the SEC.
Yeah, I think Vanessa wanted to say something.
Yes, just a quick question. Worst case scenario, what are the implications, legally or otherwise, if the foundation is too broke to have an election and thereby violating its bylaws? What are the implications? And then what do the stations do? I mean, does everybody just stay in place?
Yes.
Okay. Is there some sort of entity that we would have to answer to, or that Pacifica would have to answer to for breaching its bylaws?
We could be sued by our membership, for instance. And Lydia, did you want to speak to that?
Yes. Well, there are various scenarios. One of them is, of course, you can be sued. Well, anytime after June 1st, we could be sued by the membership. And we've had such suits, several years ago, of course, for other election aspects of, PNB elections and so forth. But anyway, once you decide that your membership as a nonprofit is going to have cold elections, then it must follow the criteria in California Corporations Code. And failing to do that makes you very vulnerable, makes your license vulnerable, makes your certification by the Attorney General of the state of California, it puts the whole thing at risk, the entire foundation at risk. Some of the options is the Attorney General may step in, and what that means can mean, various considerations. It is inconceivable to me that there would not be either a complaint in court filed or that there wouldn't be a complaint to the Attorney General. So I can't foresee what would come of that. We can say we don't have the money, but then we have to explain why didn't we let the membership know since we didn't have the money in last November. That's a biggie. And then the other thing that they look at is, what did you spend the money on? You didn't pay payroll. Oh, but you paid this out, the payroll of an outside group, or you did this or you did that. And I'm not saying that's what happened. I'm saying we don't know because we haven't seen any financial records for quite a while, since last year. So that's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. And so I think that whether you're going to go the route of John Wenger or whatever, and the Attorney General may say it doesn't have to cost $150,000, which was the last figure I heard, but again, just a guesstimate, that it could be considerably less. Certainly three of the stations that are in good condition, that have all made their fund drive goals, that have it in their budget, should be able to afford it since it was all factored in on their budget. Have some form of elections for sure. And one would think that then those same stations or some other entity could make this happen. Again, it's not just the bylaws, it's California Corporations Code, it's the Attorney General of California. Thank you.
So let me remind everybody what's in front of us at the moment is John's proposal that we request the PNB to make available to our committee and in fact the LSBs as well, the actual figures for the last election. So I hear there's no objection to that. Is there anything else we want to do about the election situation right now?
Yes, and I'd just make a friendly amendment to have a breakdown. I just don't want them to send us a number. I don't know how these.
I think that was clear. A breakdown, not just the total number, but it costs this much for mailing and this much for salaries for local supervisors and national supervisor and so on.
Yeah, George, the word I would use would be detailed accounting.
A detailed accounting of the last election. Very good.
Yeah.
Okay. So I hear no objection to that, and I don't hear anyone else, any suggestion for anything else to do about it at the moment. So I think we'll move on then.
John, to the queue for a second, quick remark.
There's more to be said. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I really think that with some intelligence and some volunteerism, we can do this for on the order of $3,000 per station plus another $3,000. If we pay the supervisors, roughly $1,000. Five stations, 3 months, that's $15,000. Plus the national supervisor, another $3,000. So around $18,000 plus the mailing. We should get these costs. The total election should be able to be done for $40,000 easy, on the order of $10,000 per station. And so we just need to be creative about it. KPFK has 5 or 6 people who know how to count the ballots by hand. This can be taught to anybody in a matter of half an hour.
Okay.
Not rocket science.
Okay. Anybody else want to comment? Before we move on?
This is Vanessa on the stack, wherever I fit in.
I think you're the only one on the stack, but I heard another.
And then Lydia on the stack at the end, since I've talked a lot.
Okay, so I heard Vanessa. Was there somebody else?
Nancy on the stack.
Nancy?
Thanks.
And Lydia? Anyone else? Okay.
And the muting code is what? Stars, pound, pound, one?
Mute is pound, pound, one. That's right.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, Vanessa.
Okay, so a question to Nancy. I think it was Nancy who said that it's inconceivable that there wouldn't be a complaint to the board and to the AB about not holding an election. Who would, I have a couple of questions, 2 questions total. So who would make such a complaint?
I think that was Lydia who said that.
Oh, yeah, Lydia. I'm sorry.
Was there anything else, Vanessa? And then we'll go
okay,
on.
Yeah, and then someone said that 3 stations have it in their budgets to have the election, so who normally pays? Is it normally Pacifica, or is it the individual stations that pay for their own elections?
Okay, so that's 2 questions. Lydia can certainly respond to the first of the 2, perhaps the second one also. Nancy, would you like to speak, and then we'll get to Lydia?
Well, before we speculate about doing this for $2,000 or $3,000, I think we need to be aware that the mailings alone are astronomical, which is why the electronic voting is such a great idea too. But if we're looking at $200,000 to $300,000, and then we think we can do it for $50,000, we need to wait till we get those numbers in. To the best of my knowledge, I do not believe that Pacifica overspends on anything.
Okay, Lydia.
Yes, so in terms of who can sue, who gets standing, any member can have standing. So any of our 70,000 members in particular, any of the members who wanted to run also as candidates would even have a greater reason for standing. So any member can have standing and have sued in the past. So this is not just simply conjecture. But the issue here is that, again, California Corporations Code, upon which our bylaws are based, and much of the language is lifted directly from the code, which says anything that affects the membership's right to vote, and I'm not reading it right now, must be amended by the membership. Therefore, I have been saying this for 2 years. If we can no longer sustain elections, then you take the proper steps. That means that you would have to make a bylaws amendment, and the entire membership has to vote, which, by the way, would probably cost us very close to what an election would cost us. But in 2014, that question can be brought to the entire membership, and then everybody can make their case and say, hey, Pacifica can no longer afford the elections that it put in the bylaws in 2004. We're just not in that financial position or whatever. Then the case can be made to the membership, and the membership decides its value. But you cannot just arbitrarily, on your own, when you have budgets, when you've had 2 years of going concern, not notify the membership of your intent to only delay, because you can't suspend the elections by California Corporations Code. You put the entire foundation in jeopardy. So therefore, you know, I mean, I'm not making these issues up. Go read CalCorp. Go read the bylaws, please. And there were steps that could have been taken prior to this. This is not a newsflash. And so we simply have to do what we have to do. So if we have to go to the least costly way of having these elections, we must have them. You also cannot extend terms. That was the basis of the 1999 lawsuit. So, you know, you just can't do that. So a lot of people's terms are expiring, and you can't, in particular, directors and so forth cannot say, oh, I want to stay on another year. So I'm saying we can't afford elections. I mean, it's an issue. Thank you.
And then the other question was, who normally pays for the election, the Pacifica or
each station?
Each station does, okay. Thank
yes,
you.
And the National picked up some, I believe, of the preliminary tab of the election supervisor, but it spread throughout the stations. And all the local election supervisors' salary is paid by the stations as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so I will... John, would you send me an email with the text of that resolution, asking for a what did you call it, a detailed
accounting,
of the last election to be provided to the governance committee and the LSBs and the rest of the PNB, I assume. Okay. The next item is Lydia's. It's bylaws timeline. Lydia, do you want to speak to that?
Yes. Okay. So, as I mentioned at our last meeting, one of the cost-saving measures for the election that I think is really important is to reduce the quorum requirement. Part of what has been costly in recent years, over several years actually at different stations, has been extending the elections when a particular station does not make quorum. Because you have to keep on the local election supervisor longer. Last year, because we were dealing with a separate entity to count our ballots, had to keep them on longer. You have to keep on the national and local election supervisors actually longer. You interrupt the station programming longer with constant announcements about getting your ballots in. And, you know, it just creates tremendous havoc and creates tremendous situations having to do with PNB elections later in the year. So the bylaws amendment that I am proposing is to reduce the quorum to 5%. Personally, I'd like to do away with it altogether, but I don't have the support on either side of the PNB aisle. I do have support for reducing it to 5%. But it would be really important just to even make that particular bylaws amendment, you still need to have a timeline to do this. So last year, it is the timeline that I sent out to the committee, that in fact it was George Ryder who presented it to the PMB when it was passed. Last year, we had all properly proposed bylaws shall be proposed by August 16th and shall be held until September 2nd. By the way, this is all language from the bylaws, and all we did was drop in the dates. By September 2nd, 60 days before the earliest of the voting dates of the board and of the delegates as determined by the board, the notice date. On the notice date, September 2nd, this year it would be 2013, the proposed amendments to the bylaws shall be posted on the foundation's website. And the foundation's radio station shall broadcast an announcement twice a day for a period of 60 days, the notice period, September 2nd through October 31st. The Pacific National Board of Directors shall vote by a majority of all directors on the board and on the notice bylaws amendments on November 1st, and the delegates of the foundation radio station shall vote in the same month of November. But we had a bylaws amendment that I believe altered that, right, George, that passed?
Yes, we did. We changed that. It passed it. I think they have, I think it's actually 60 days now in order to, a period to...
Right. So in general, I'm saying that given that the elections are so late that we could still get this passed before the counting of the ballots. And I don't see... an option, given that this is already so late. What does everyone else think? Can we do it? George?
Well, my feeling is we ought to do it anyway, even if it doesn't get done for this year. It needs to be done. So I think all you can do is to move forward as quickly as you can and see how it plays out.
But this is probably the fastest that we can get it done, right? Proposed by August 16th, or
we shortened one period of time and lengthened the other period of time with the bylaw amendment that actually passed last time. Do these dates reflect what's in the new bylaws, or are they from the old?
No, from the old.
Okay, so we have to go back and redo that, and it moves things up 15 days, as I recall.
Okay.
That is to say, the notice period is shorter by 15 days, is my recollection. We can check that, I guess the sense of what you want to do, Lydia, is to have the committee support a timeline to present to the PNB essentially a date when you have to get your bylaws amendments in.
That's correct.
Right. Okay.
It is, the motion can be that I would like to move that the bylaws amendment timeline open with proposed bylaws amendments by August 16th, and that the subsequent dates be according to the amended bylaws of last year for the bylaws amendment process, since we don't have that.
That would work.
That's essentially what you think will work. Really? Well, this is why we need a secretary.
I didn't hear what was said.
She asked if I could say it again. Okay. I know I have to, write it, so anyway. But what I'm basically proposing is that that all properly proposed bylaws shall be proposed by August 16th, and that the subsequent dates for bylaws amendments timeline be according to the amended bylaws process of last year, meaning the process that was amended last year.
Okay.
Is that clear? And the reason we're saying that, I would use the dates that I sent everyone, but as George pointed out, we amended the process to make amending the bylaws easier and fine-tuned the timeline, because some of it was just too exaggerated, so much so that you couldn't even, correct the comma sometimes. So, but anyway, so we made it more workable. And so we will insert those dates once we go back and dig up those amendments that were passed.
Is that acceptable to everybody as a motion? Is a sense of it clear? Okay. Is there any objection to that motion? Okay. Hearing none, then we will forward that to the PNB as... I don't know, are they meeting tomorrow?
No, next Thursday. And so, George, if I can, if you and I can proof each other on the dates
subsequent
to the August 16th, that would be good.
Okay.
And then afterward, I'd like to say something else about the specific bylaws amendment that I have in mind.
Okay, so I hear no objection to the one that was just proposed, the date you have to put in your bylaws amendments is August 16th, and the timeline will be the timeline is as specified in the bylaws now in the newly amended bylaws subsequent to that. Okay, so what else did you want to bring up, Lydia?
So I would just like to ask all of I would like to get the sense of this committee. Since there are several people from other stations, as to what they think about reducing that quorum to 5%. KPFK, of course, did not make its quorum. It's always struggled to make a quorum. I know PFW has had problems with quorum in the past, although they made it this year. But I would like to see if there's support for it, because you can only get these bylaws passed if you get 3 out of the 5 stations local station boards to support it.
Let me say that one of the functions of the governance committee last year was to do this kind of background conversations. In fact, it requires only 6 PNB members to propose a bylaw change, but it's pointless to propose bylaw changes that don't have enough support in the network. And so the governance committee was basically providing a forum where people could discuss this kind of thing. My question would be, if it had been 5%, would KPFK have been making its quorum, and would PFW have been making its quorum?
Yes, we would have at KPFK.
You would have?
Yeah, we always narrowly miss it. You know, we're on the order of 1,000 votes short or something. I'm sure we would have made it a lot.
Right.
We'd done a lot better.
Right.
And may I add that the post office is still looking for some ballots that I had. I had the special delivery tickets for it that never arrived, and that's of the staff ballots. And so, it doesn't do any good to have the ticket if it never gets anywhere. But anyway, there you go. So there were issues, but we were that close. So,
Is anyone want to object to that? Is there anyone who objects to that reducing the bylaws, reducing the quorum requirement in the bylaws to 5%?
Yes, please. Pat.
Pat, go ahead.
I think that it makes a mockery of what elections are supposed to do, which is making Pacifica more democratic and giving the membership more say in what's going on. If we our ideal has to be, and what we have to strive for, is to get more people to vote, not to reduce the quorum. And some of the reasons that that we were having problems with these things was that some staff did not want to play cards or talk about the elections on their shows. Some managers did not want to go along with the rules that the election supervisors were putting in place. There were many reasons why we were having trouble making quorum, and those are the kinds of things that we should be working on, not reducing the quorums until people can very easily say, well, the elections are meaningless, and then that gives more leeway to the hands of the people who are trying to say that we should do away with elections altogether. By making the elections less meaningful, you know, we've given them that chance to say that, and I think it's wrong. I mean, I'm very much in favor of the governance model.
Anyone else who hasn't spoken yet about it would like to speak?
And John would like to enter the queue as well.
Okay, so I've got John. Anybody else who hasn't spoken to the issue yet?
Just put me at the end.
Okay.
This is Lydia.
Okay, John, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I have just two comments. One of them is that with all due respect, we need a solution now, and KPFK, the station, needs it now. And while I'd like to do what you said in the longer term, we need a solution now. The other stations got quorum last year. We have elections 2 out of 3 years. KPFK, in essence, did not have an election last year. Failure to make quorum means that now we have to have, we're putting all our eggs into a single basket, a single election this year. And there is a consequence of not having an election. When you do have an election, the people get the most votes, the first 9 people get to be on the board. And then when they term out, you replace them with the last place vote getters. So you're going to get a decline in the quality of your, arguably a decline in the quality of your replacement LSB members. You're certainly going to get, now they might actually be better, but they're at least going to be less popular amongst the listener electorate. And so in that sense, representation goes down because you're replacing first 9 place vote getters with another 9 last place vote getters. And, you know, we're down into, and our current thing here, the bylaws, you don't get to do it for election. It's the most recent election obtained. So we have people elected in 1 year and people elected the second year. It's the second year election set of alternates that are here's the active pool. I think we're down into the 20s now.
Oh.
So we're seating now. We're not seating people who are in the came in 20th or 22nd or 25th in the election. Well, those aren't our best vote getters. So KPFK has a matter of urgency. Now, with regard to in the utopian world, what I favor is setting up some form of direct democracy with open voting, so the electorate themselves can vote on these issues and doing away with the elected representatives in the first place. But this requires a great deal of education because people say, well, you can't have the people vote because, my gosh, I mean, it just doesn't work. You know, American government, we have elected representatives who act as in loco parentis. And we don't allow the riffraff to vote directly. That's what the Constitutional Convention was all about. We took the power of the vote away from the people and gave it to their representatives. And God forbid that we would give the power back to the people. But if you do that, then you have a long-term solution. Then you have the governance model. And then you have grassroots democracy. So that's what I favor. And I'm willing to work on proposals to that end. So I hope I spoke clearly. I'm done with my remark.
Okay, Lydia?
Yes, the issue is that most people who are past listeners, that means the ones that don't listen to KPFK or any of the stations 24 hours a day, but they like certain programs, they like Amy Goodman, they like, you know, their afternoon one or news or whatever, but they look at Pacifica, rightly, as this wonderful progressive station, and they figure everyone else that's interested in running in governance, they're all progressive, so, you know, it doesn't really matter who's in governance. So unless you're really steeped in the internal politics of Pacifica, you may not be as motivated. I know in the general elections here, we just had an election for mayor of Los Angeles, and both candidates were of the Democratic Party, so, you know, there wasn't perceived much of a difference, so the turnout was the lowest ever. And both high profile, but most people you talk to, well, it doesn't really make any difference. They both sound good. They're both progressive, blah, blah, blah. In one of the largest cities in the country, we don't have a quorum here. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a mayor. So so I think that that's much of what's going on. It's not that I'm discounting. I definitely think, you know, back in 99 and whatever, we had a lot of more broadcasting, obviously, about the problems in Pacifica. The other issue is that the stations that tend to always make quorum and have a great turnout are the ones that have the greatest conflict and open conflict. And that's, you know, WBAI, KPFA, and recently WVFW. But, you know, the three big stations have all of the membership. They bring in the bulk of the money, but we may not be at KPFK bringing in all of the votes. It doesn't mean we don't have differences. We're just not as overt about our battles. And so I think, you know, that's awful that that needs to be the motivating factor from my perspective. And so I'm certainly not against governance. I've been in governance for many years. I absolutely appreciate its value. So, but, you know, we are where we are, and so we have the cards that we've been dealt, and so all of us are just struggling of how can we reduce the cost, and certainly extending elections because of a lack of quorum for whatever reasons, and it's usually many, many reasons that we need to do that now. But thank you for the input, because I like to hear what the objections are going to be.
Anyone else want to speak to the issue of reducing quorum? No, okay. The next item on the agenda is the question of crafting an explicit motion to outline the procedures for electing chair and secretary for the standing committees. And Lydia, that was also yours. Do you want to speak to it?
Well, we've had this long-standing procedure that we've always practiced up until this came up when we had the absence of an administrative assistant to count the ballots. But I think that we simply need to codify that process. And the basis for it has always been that the entire committee should have the opportunity to weigh in on who ends up being its chair, because when you have that first meeting, it's a convener that makes it, that picks a date usually for that particular meeting. And this year there were some delays in the individual stations nominating and electing their LSB members to the committee, so that tends to happen, of course. And use the same process. Some people are concerned about the a secret ballot, and in a network that is burdened with slates, that is not unusual. I personally don't care if people know how I vote, but that's just me. Other people feel differently. And so, it's not totally secret. You're sending it to someone, but they do separate the email from the attachment, which has no identification on it, or it can be mailed, and some of our members in the different committees have mailed their ballots in as well. And then it's counted, and there are witnesses usually from both and all sides who witness the count at the Berkeley office, and that seems to have worked quite well. And so I recommend that we just continue with that. But since we ran into issues with not just this committee, but other committees as well, but in the absence of Christine, who has been doing it for years, that we just need to put it in writing, codify it, and pass it. But I recommend we do that at the next meeting, since we haven't written it all down. But I would like to get a sense of what people think.
Okay. Anyone want to speak to that? D- does anyone object to the procedure that that Lydia was outlining, which has in fact been what was standard of essentially everyone on the committee gets the vote. It's done by I think it's either email or regular mail, isn't it, Lydia?
Yes.
And it's done in such a way that the person who the people's votes can't be traced back to who they were, so it's a secret ballot. So is there any objection to that?
George, this is Nancy. I don't have any objection to it. What you want to weigh in on it so I can just get a sense of where you stand on it? Because
That has been the procedure. I think it's the way we ought to do it. I support it. I don't object to it.
All right. Just wanted to make sure I wasn't missing anything.
Yeah.
Sounds like the thing to do, really.
And this refers, please forgive me, this refers to what committees?
All the standing committees.
All the standing committees, okay.
Yes. Lydia, then write it up, circulate it before the next meeting, and hopefully we'll be able to pass it then.
Okay.
Okay, that's it for the agenda. And
George,
we are.
When is our next meeting? And then I move to adjourn.
It was scheduled. I have to go take. Give me a minute to go search KPFTX to see when it is.
And I have a
think
question.
It's the next fourth Wednesday, but I'm going to check.
Wasn't it the first Tuesday?
Tuesday?
Yeah, I thought we selected the first Tuesday, and then I was surprised to hear that it was this today, Wednesday.
No, this was put in as an extra one because of the election.
Right,
yeah.
It was a special one, right. So I think it's the first Tuesday of the month hereafter.
Okay.
That's what I think, but I don't know. We need to verify that.
That's what we voted.
Right, that's what I thought, too. So let's make sure that George and everybody agrees with that. And my second question is, or my question is, have we all agreed to go back and canvass our respective LSVs and find out if there's support for a quorum reduction?
I was wrong. It's Tuesday, August 6th.
Okay.
And I think we agreed on the first Tuesday of the month. So let me just check the next month and see
what we were all saying. That's what we all remember.
Yeah, that's it. The first Tuesday of the month, right.
Okay,
yeah.
Terrific.
And George, a quick question.
Yes.
Have we all agreed here that we're going to go back and canvass our respective LSVs to determine if there's support for the 5% quorum so that we can at least find out if it's feasible to come forward?
You know, we didn't agree to it, but it sure is a good idea. I mean, it would be
I agree.
Yeah.
So I
would encourage us all to do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
Thank you.
Are people generally, do people generally support that? It would be nice to hear that rather than just a quiet silence, which is sort of foreboding.
I don't know. Lydia mentioned at the beginning that she thought she had support at least on the PNB for it.
I have growing support on both sides on the PNB.
That's great. So it'll come down to the various LSVs then.
Right.
Can I ask whoever the appropriate person is to just write a little summary so that if I go back and try to get a sense of the LSV that I'm making sure that I'm stating the issue correctly?
I will be crafting for obvious reasons because if we accept this timeline, then I have to submit the bylaws amendment to the people who have told me verbally they're going to sign on to it. So I will be crafting that language in the next few days,
okay.
And I will send it to our whole committee so that we have it. And I will put draft because it can always be amended at the PMB level or by other directors and make sure it doesn't, I didn't miss another portion of the bylaws that refers to the quorum, et cetera. But I'll have the preliminary language in the next few days.
Okay.
George, welcome back from vacation. And thanks.
Anything else before we adjourn?
It's a good meeting.
I'm going to ask a generic question. It's a strange question. I acknowledge it before I ask it. I still feel new to everything. I'm certainly new to this committee. And the more I learn, the more distressed I am. And the more I learn, the more I find out that Pacifica is just a mess, or so it appears to be. So what's the proper form for even beginning to raise this as an issue and understand what on earth is going on?
Well, if you make the question more specific, we can address it here.
I have an answer, a humorous answer. Go to snafu.org. That's snafu.org.
Snafu.org, all right.
What's distressing for you, Vanessa?
I thought it was just PFW. And I know there's drama at other stations, but Pacific doesn't sound any better than PFW. The lack of financials, the lack of this, the lack of that, and I just had no idea things were quite that bad. I know there was the whole going concerns issue because that affected PFW as we're trying to get some permanent space, and but I don't understand why that is. I presume it's a leadership issue, but I don't know.
This is Lydia.
Go ahead, Lydia.
So I just want to make a pitch for governance for any listeners anyone who is listening. I mean, the improvement, and I don't think it can ever be resolved because democracy is messy and we decided to go down that road. But the quality of those who join the boards, whose voices are heard, and I support what John Wenger had said, but this is what we have. And so I would just urge that everybody at all of the stations seek out people who are really serious, who are able to devote the time to governance, upon whom we can impress the importance of governance. Because that's what it is, that a lot of what I find is a lack of experience with nonprofits, a lack of experience with just common sense, but also a lack of being sufficiently inquisitive to ask and to want to have information under, you know, your belt type of thing. And then all of the other things are layers and layers, whether it's a programming differences or blah, blah, blah. We're all going to, how many people do you know that you agree with 100% of the time? It's just not going to happen, much less in the progressive realm. So it's a lot of things, but I think with what we're concerned with in this committee, it is governance, and so to the degree that it is messy, it can also be improved. And that's my pitch for people to please come and run for the LSC.
So is it within the realm of this committee to have some sort of discussion, I don't even know how to frame it, about the state of affairs of Pacifica? I mean, I'm asking, I honestly don't know.
I'd say yes.
I think the answer is yes. It might have to be framed a little bit more narrowly, but yes, I think it is within the realm of this committee to...
Okay, then I'd like to place that out. If somebody could help me properly frame it on the agenda for the next meeting.
Okay.
This is Lydia. I'd like to make one closing example here.
Yeah.
That George can attest to. George and I, when we have served on the board together, rarely agree on issues. Rarely. But we always leave communication open. So we always talk to each other and we say, oh, okay, you gave it your best shot. I still don't agree with you. And you move on, right? A, it's not personal. And maybe A should be we put Pacifica first. And B, it's not personal. And you have to learn how to disagree. Express your opinion.
Yeah, well, that's
it. You move on. So, but there are there mechanisms in governance that we can implement that help that along? Possibly. And I think that part does affect something that we might be able to do in this committee. But as you can see, George and I work well together. And like I said, we disagree on many, many issues. But we don't disagree on our commitment to Pacifica.
I applaud you on that.
Yep.
I can't say it works that way at PFW, but so so do I have to do anything more than just request for it to be?
No, I'll put it on, and you can think about just how you want to frame it between now and then, and you'll get a chance to introduce it.
You want to show him whether you agree with what I said?
Yes, yeah, I did say that. I did say that, Lydia.
Okay.
I did agree.
All right, let me just throw this out. This is Nancy, and I share your concerns, and I feel that we really have there's some structural issues, and because of where we are with our finances, we really need a business plan. And I think we spend a lot of time reacting to our finances instead of acting. And I've expressed this, and I just think if we don't start doing something about that, we're just going to find ourselves in the downward spiral.
Yeah. Any other comments?
Oh, yeah, John has one.
Go ahead.
Yeah, just for the rest of the people who aren't in KPFK's listening area, KPFK has two factions. Lydia's in one, and I'm in the other. Yet over the years, I've known Lydia since way back in the bylaws committee when we were trying to create the bylaws, when we were moving away from local advisory boards to create the local station boards. We do it by being cordial and civil to each other and, you know, being reasonably professional. And so I don't know if that's come through that Lydia and I are in two warring factions. But
no,
Lydia and I talk.
No indication.
Yeah. Lydia and I talk to each other, and that helps. I mean, that makes it possible. So that's just the way it works. And you need to have professional people who can, put these minor issues. Because as I tell people, you know, if you were to move outside of, in KPFK, if you were to move outside of KPFK and go to, let's say, the next most liberal, radical radio station in Los Angeles, that would probably be KCRW, which is a student station of the Santa Monica Community College. We make jokes about them. We call them, corporate-sponsored radio, and that sort of stuff. They're part of National Public Radio, and so we call them National Corporate Radio. But the fact of the matter is, looked at from over there in Santa Monica, Lydia and I are identical. It's like we in L.A. looking to the Middle East, the Israelis and the Palestinians are functionally identical. They're all Semites, and they have a little religious difference. But, looked at from in Ireland, the Catholics and the Protestants in Ireland, gosh, they're all Irish, they're really identical, looked at from a distance. And the fact is, the differences in Pacifica are all of these things here. The leftists all think we have to agree, and we kill each other if we don't agree with 100%. But this is an unreasonable standard. So, for example, when men and women get hooked up and marry, you just don't find spouses that you agree with 100% of the time. I'm just not aware of it happening. And so we have this unreasonable standard for our political allies, which is much higher than for our spouses. And it's just not realistic. And part of it is COINTELPRO, the government, is involved in all of our stations and splits us up. And then they have psychological warfare to break us up and to make us fight with each other. But the fact is, if they went after the marriages, we'd have 100% divorce rate if COINTELPRO were applied to the marriages in Los Angeles. So that's just my comment. I hope it helps.
I hear you.
That's an interesting idea, having COINTELPRO applied to marriages.
Well, then you'd have 100%. You'd have a zero marriage rate. They would marry, but they'd dissociate immediately. Like you take salt, put it in water, and you have sodium and chloride swimming around independently.
Right. Yeah. This guy jumps out of the closet and makes a comment here and there.
Right.
Get people off.
Right.
Okay.
Sorry, I have to get off now.
Any other comments before we adjourn? Okay, thanks for good meeting,
okay,
folks.
Okay, see
good
you
night.
All next time.
Thanks very much.
Thank
bye-bye.
You.
Yeah. Bye-bye. That's a good committee, I think. Bye.